This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 96, How to Choose a Tripod. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 96th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, we're going to talk about how to choose a new tripod. And basically, I'm doing this podcast because I myself have bought a new tripod. I bought one about 3 or 4 months ago, and I'm loving it. For the longest time, I've had one tripod, and it was a big, fat aluminum tripod, and because I used to do mostly portrait work, that tripod was excellent for me. But now that I'm doing a little bit more travel photography and a bit more general photography about anything and everything, I'm finding that that tripod was too heavy for me, so I went to buy a new tripod, and I thought we'd talk about tripods in general. But before we get into it, I always like to thank people for their comments on our last podcast, number 95, where Laszlo of Montreal talked to us about his Larry King family portrait, and Benny left a comment thanking us for the podcast and saying that he really enjoyed it. Thanks so much for the comments. As always, we appreciate them any way we can get them, but we prefer them the most when they come directly through the blog, photography.ca/blog. It's just so easy to credit people when they come through the blog. But of course, any way you send comments is greatly appreciated through the forum. Just make your way to the forums on photography.ca or just shoot me an email, photography.ca@gmail.com. All right then, so let's just get right into today's podcast. I should preface this by saying that I'm not a tripod expert, but I've been shooting for a long time, and it took me a long time to choose this new tripod. You know, and I'm going to discuss some of the things that I thought about when I bought this particular tripod, and you should know straight up that tripods are not cheap, and the more you get into photography, the more you will want a good tripod, and the more likely you'll be willing to accept the fact that you have to spend some bucks on a good tripod. Just so you know where we're at, the tripod that I bought now costs a little over $800 at B&H. I got it for about $100 cheaper here in Canada a few months ago, but right now on B&H's site, it's about $800. So I'm going to talk about tripods. Let's get into it now. So for those that are newer to photography, you need a good tripod. And why do you need a good tripod? Because basically, anytime you're shooting at speeds of 1 over 125 or 1 over 60, when you put your camera on a tripod and shoot at those same speeds, you will find that your shots will be sharper. Straight up, they will. And as you get into slower speeds, you know, 1 over 30th, 1 over 15th, your hands just can't hold that camera steady enough, so you yourself are introducing shake into the shots. So tripods help eliminate camera shake. They increase the steadiness, and by increasing the steadiness, they increase the sharpness. If your camera is on a tripod and you're shooting nature photography or architectural photography, you can also increase your depth of field. Because increasing your depth of field normally means using slower shutter speeds, you can attain these slower shutter speeds when your camera is on a tripod. Using a good tripod also allows you to do HDR, high dynamic range, where we take multiple shots of the same scene, and you definitely don't want any movement whatsoever, or you will see it in post-production. So you need tripods for HDR to keep your shots absolutely still. No movement at all. Now that first tripod that I bought, which was the Manfrotto 055, that was an excellent tripod, but it was very, very heavy. It was very, very solid. I can highly recommend that tripod. So if you don't want to spend a lot of money, like I just quickly mentioned, this new one that was $800, the 055 I bought eons ago, but these can still be had for about $200 or less, and they're very, very solid. So as long as you can deal with the weight, I can highly recommend that tripod. Go out and get that cheap tripod, and you probably won't be disappointed unless you're doing a lot of traveling with it, because if you have to bring it with you, it's pretty heavy and unwieldy, and you're just not going to want to bring it with you traveling. You won't. So any tripod that is too heavy to carry, you will use less. And you won't get the good effects of having a tripod, and you won't have the versatility of having a tripod. But when the tripod is lighter and it's not such a problem to carry around, you will likely bring it along much more often. And that's really the goal here, to try and convince you to bring your tripods out with you much more often if you are shooting on location and doing like more travel photography. Again, if you're only doing studio work or portrait work, you know, if you set up in one zone for 6 or 7 hours and you don't move it much, then there's no reason to necessarily get a really light tripod. Your big heavy tripod will do the trick. But for those of us that like to mix and match and like to shoot various types of photography, or certainly people that are into landscape photography or travel photography, you're going to want a light tripod. And if you don't have one already and you're thinking about it, continue to listen, because I'm going to convince you to spend more money. So sorry. Once you do spend that greater sum of money, you will likely be super pleased with what you get and you'll use it more often. So it will pay off in the end. Photography, as we know, is an expensive hobby or an expensive profession. But once you lay down the initial big bucks for accessories of quality, you will have them for years and years and years and years. Before I spent this $800 on a kick butt tripod, I was trying to get away with smaller travel tripods that were cheap. And I know I should have known better. I just know I should have known better. But of course, I threw about $150 into the garbage just buying what I thought was decent, but it just wasn't good enough. You know, you need a good tripod. You just need a good tripod. Any plasticky thing you're going to buy, it's not going to be great. Anything that you see moving, if there's a little bit of wind, it's not going to be great. We often go to Walmart or different stores like this, and we see tripods on sale, $30, $70. They're garbage. They're just garbage. Don't buy them. You'll just regret it. So, you know, they don't work well. They're a pain in the butt to use. The head is made of plastic. They're not good. You're going to need to spend a few bucks. Good tripods are usually going to be made from aluminum, basalt, or carbon fiber. Carbon fiber is a strong, light material, and that's the material of the tripod that I bought. But it's very expensive, and that's the price you have to pay. So how do you choose one for you is going to depend on many, many factors. But what will go on it is going to be like a total key factor, right? So what's going to go on the tripod is going to be a head, and we'll talk about heads in a bit. You can buy tripods with heads already attached, and I totally don't recommend that. So a tripod is just a set of legs, really. When you buy a tripod, you have basically a set of legs that attaches to a central mechanism with a screw, and you can screw your camera right onto that screw, but most people need a head. We're talking about the good tripods. The cheap tripods will actually come with a head already attached, and you can't change the head. So the head that comes with the tripod is what you get. I don't recommend those. I recommend a separate tripod and a separate head. And how you choose your tripod and head, again, is going to depend on what's going to go with it. I don't have too many long lenses. I'm not like a birder, so I don't have 400 millimeter lenses and stuff like that. The largest lens I'm likely to use will be a 200 millimeter lens f2.8. So the tripod that I bought supports 25 pounds, and my camera with the longest lens on the tripod is way less than that 25 pounds. So, you know, a good rule of thumb might be, 1.5 or 2 times the weight of your largest setup. That's what your tripod should be able to support. So if you do have an enormous lens, you're going to need a larger tripod. So just to get it out of the way, the tripod that I bought was a Gitzo tripod, and it's the 2540 LLVL. And for those people that know Gitzo, it's a very high quality tripod, and it's the level 2 series, not the level 3 series. The level 3 series, the legs are thicker and they can hold more weight. This level 2 series can hold 25 pounds, which for me is more than enough. So everyone's going to be different. Everyone's going to have heavier cameras or less light lenses. It's going to be a very personal thing. What I bought, and there's other reasons why I bought this tripod, might just not be great for other people. So very often I'll read on the net, what tripod do people recommend? Just because someone recommends a tripod, it's probably a good tripod, but it may be crap for you. So keep listening. The height of the tripod is also something that is absolutely key for me. It is so important. I wanted my tripod to have a specific height. That's why if I recommend my tripod, I'm about 5'6.5", 5'7" on a good day with heels. But someone that's 6 foot probably wouldn't appreciate my tripod, because when it extends at a certain natural length. And that natural length is perfect for me, but it's not going to be perfect for other people. On this particular tripod that I bought, you can extend the legs in 3 sections to make the tripod progressively higher and higher. What I wanted was to extend, 1 or 2 of the legs to their maximum and have that be at my natural eye height. So basically, when I extend 2 sections of the legs, the tripod is mounted on a head, and when that's up, it's at my eye level. So I am ready to shoot super, super fast. I don't have to make any additional adjustments to the legs at all. And that was something that I wanted. And I looked at least 20 tripods in order to find one that fit my particular height, because it's that important to me. when we want to set up, we want to do it quickly, and we don't want to necessarily make additional adjustments either with the center column or by raising or lowering the legs. At least I don't. So one of the key reasons I chose this tripod is because when I extend two sections of the legs, it's just at my eye level, and there we go. If you have to stoop, you're going to hurt your back. And if you have to stand on tippy toes, you're going to be uncomfortable. You can have like an inch or an inch and a half of play either way. That's no big deal. But if you need to bend or you need to stand on tippy toes, it's not going to be fun for you. So you really need to choose your tripod for you. You know, some nature photographers might want to stand on a rock to get a certain view, you know, and this happens more often than you think. So in this case, you really have to be aware of the maximum height of the tripod. And maybe that should be, you know, 2 or 3 feet above you, because you want to be able to shoot on that rock when you want to. If your legs of the tripod are too short, you won't be able to do it. And that's going to be disappointing. So this is why I say that you really have to know what your shooting material is, what you're going to like to shoot. If you're still a generalist, then get a general type tripod and know that you might have to get a second one. But still, you really want something that's good for your body and your shooting technique, which is why I highly recommend to not buy the sucker on the internet. Or at least don't buy it on the internet until you've seen it in person. There are tons of sites and tons of opinions on the internet, but none of them give you that hands-on type thing. So what I highly recommend is don't buy the sucker on the net. Go to a local photo store and try out the tripods. If you live in a big city, you're going to have a really lovely ability to do this. If you don't live in a big city and you have a hard time getting gear, then maybe do research with regard to how tall people are. Really, people will say how tall they are when they want to know about tripods and what other people recommend. So if by chance you cannot get to a store and you are taking a bit of a gamble, so hedge your bet a little bit by including the fact that you are a certain height and would this tripod work for you at that height? You can pose that question in our forum or other forums if people have similar types of tripods. But go to the store. Go to the store and see how it works for you. Go to the store with all your gear. Don't just go to the store with your camera. You want to put all your lenses on that tripod on your camera. You may want to try different heads at the same time, and I'll talk a little bit about heads in a bit. But basically, you know, sometimes different lenses are built differently, and depending on the tripod you end up buying, there may be an apparatus that sticks out from the tripod that prevents your lens from easily attaching to your camera while it's on the tripod. So again, you want to bring your camera and all your lenses to the camera store, and you want to play for a good while. If the people aren't happy about you playing there, then they suck as a camera store, because that's just what you got to do. And so hopefully you'll find a friendly person. Typically, when you're looking at buying higher end tripods, they'll be accommodating because you're spending good coin in their store. So go to the store and play. It's so important. I cannot reiterate that enough. Go to the store and play. One thing that I wanted to mention is that some tripods have center columns and some don't. And this can be an important consideration for you. My old tripod, the 055 from Manfrotto, that did have a center column, and it has its pros and cons. Pros are that you can make additional adjustments once the legs are extended, and you can make those adjustments from the center column rather than having to adjust the legs again. But on the opposite side, the more you raise that center bar, the less stable your tripod becomes. The lower that center collar is and the more firmly the camera is affixed to that tripod, the more solid it will be. So, and you'll definitely notice the difference in solidity if there's like wind. If there's a lot of wind and that could blow around your tripod, the higher up that center column is, the less stable your tripod is going to be. So one thing that I wanted to have the ability to remove that center column, and this tripod that I bought has the ability to remove that center column. Why do you want to remove that center column? I like to shoot at low angles. So when you have that center column, the column itself will prevent you from extending those legs too wide. On most good tripods, not only can you move the legs up and down, but you can extend them outward. There's like levers or layers of outwardness that you could extend the legs. And the center column physically disables the tripod from getting as low as it can. If it has no center column, then you can get much, much, much lower. And that was really important to me because I love shooting low angles. So that's something to be aware of. If you love shooting low angles, you won't be able to get as low if you have a fixed center column or that center column cannot be removed. Some tripods don't even have a center column, and you can buy those. Again, if they're the perfect height for you and it works well, go for it. But it's personal, and if you're into shooting low angles, it's something you should be aware of. Something else that's fab for shooting low angles, and you can actually shoot lower this way, is by mounting the camera upside down. So on this center column that I have on this particular tripod, I can actually mount my camera upside down on the sucker. So I could get literally a quarter inch or a half inch from the ground level. That's even lower than just without the center column, basically because the camera is still on a head. So even though it's really low to the ground without the center column, the camera is still attached to the head. So it's at least 8, 9, 10 inches off the ground. But when you mount the sucker upside down, you can get really low on the ground. And that's some really cool angles. So if you're into those low, cool angles, just something else you may want to be aware of. So we talked about tripods, and now we're just going to talk about heads for a little bit. The head of a tripod is the other part of the equation. And again, good heads are going to be expensive. Basically, you know, any good carbon fiber tripod is probably going to run you in the $500 to $900 range. And any good head is going to run you in the $250 to $500, $600 range. So you have to be prepared to spend as much on a good tripod as you would on a good lens, and you'll likely have that tripod for years and years and years. But we're talking a bit of Bitcoin here. I just want to let you know. But the heads, again, are meant to keep your whole system as stable as possible. The head attaches to the tripod, and the camera attaches to the head. Two main types of heads are going to be pan heads and ball heads. And basically, a pan head will allow you to pan in a smooth movement from left to right. So if you're tracking a car from left to right, you can track it beautifully and smoothly. And pan heads are great for that. Pan heads often have 2 to 3 handles, and they allow you to move the camera, which is attached to the tripod, in a smooth axis. Either up or down or left to right. And then if you loosen both handles, you can move them diagonally. But they're very good for linear movements. They're great for doing panoramics where you stitch images together using software, but the shots have to be smooth. They have to be totally aligned, and a pan head is great for that. The 055 from Manfrotto that I spoke about, that had a pan tilt head, and it worked well. And the second type of heads are ball heads. And ball heads are just easier to use. In my opinion, they're way easier to use. And basically, this whole contraption, this ball head, sits on a ball. And the knobs make the tension on the ball more tight or less tight. And it's just so easy to use because there's one knob and the camera can move in any direction. So this is like fabulous for sports photography or general photography, nature photography. It's just really easy to use. If you're looking for precise movements, it might not be the best tool to use. A pan head might be better, but for your average person, I would suggest that a ball head is just much easier to use. I have a specific type of ball head that I've been using for about 6 years now, and I'm using it with this tripod as well, and it's a pistol grip ball head. So it basically looks like a gun, and you just pull in on the trigger, and then you have a nice range of movement, and then the second you stop, you have no movement. And I'm finding, because I don't use lenses that are too long, I'm finding that system works really well for me. I've read complaints where people say there is creep, and we'll talk about creep in a second, with this pistol grip. But for the lenses that I use most often, I'm loving it. So if you're into that, I'll put a link in the show notes as well. In terms of good heads to buy, I'm going to put some links in the show notes, but it's hard to go wrong with brands that you test yourself. Don't go buy it, but like look for these brands and test them for yourself in person. Really Right Stuff, Markins, Bogen Manfrotto, Gitzo, Arca Swiss, and Acrotech. They're all recommended. And if you search for reviews on the net, you're going to find people touting these brands over and over and over and over. Again, you're spending a few $100 or more on these, but they do the trick. They're finely machined, and just choose one that suits your need the best, and you likely will not be disappointed. Heads that you buy that fit onto the camera will come in a few varieties, but one of the main varieties that they're going to come with is with or without a quick release plate. And basically, if it does not have a quick release plate, then that means that the head gets screwed into a screw on the tripod, and then your camera gets screwed to a screw on the head. And that's not as good, in my opinion, as if there's a quick release plate attached to the head. And basically, a quick release plate, it's just a piece of metal. It fits on your camera, and it also fits nicely into the head. So with the press of one button, you can remove the camera from the head, which is attached to the tripod. If you don't have this quick release plate, you have to physically screw the camera off the head, and that's bloody annoying. So I highly recommend a quick release system. And you know, the cheaper tripods won't have them, and the medium, more expensive ones will definitely have them. But please take my advice on this. Get yourself a quick release system. You will so appreciate it. And that's mostly what I have to say about tripods. Again, you really want one that's good for you. To summarize, I would say that if you can afford it and you're doing travel or landscape photography or any type of photography where you have to move your tripod often, a carbon fiber tripod is a beautiful thing because you will bring it with you more often, you will get sharper images due to the increased stability, and you'll just be happier with your pictures overall. You definitely want a tripod that you could change heads with. Don't buy a cheap tripod with a head attached. You'll just be disappointed. You really do want to buy a separate head and tripod. Again, be aware that the head needs to support the camera and the heaviest lens. Oh, one thing I forgot to mention, we talked about creep. So cheap heads are going to have creep. So basically, this is when you mount your tripod and your lens onto the head, you're setting it up and you're about to shoot, and all of a sudden you notice movement in the head. This is because the head is not tightened enough and it can't properly support the amount of weight you put on it, which is why I just recommended certain brands, because they're known to be good and they're known to eliminate creep when their weight ratios are respected. You know, especially when you're on a cable release, you're shooting a macro shot, you have things set up, you're just about to shoot, and then all of a sudden you notice your lens is moving. I mean, not fun, not cool. So again, by spending a few extra bucks, you'll likely never encounter this. But many people encounter this when they buy their first few tripods because they aren't willing to spend the bucks, unfortunately. And we often learn the hard way, right? Like, I threw out $150 a few months ago, again, trying to buy a cheaper tripod that I thought could do the trick that didn't and couldn't, and I should have known better, and I feel like a bonehead. But I myself have flushed at least $150 this year, and many people have flushed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. So really, it's just so worth it to spend a few extra bucks. Another thing I wanted to mention again is if you do get a tripod with a center column and there's nothing wrong with it, the more you raise it, the less steady it becomes. Just be aware of that, which is why it's nice to have a tripod at your natural height more often than using a center column and raising it too high. Many of the tripods that you're going to find are going to have a hook at the bottom of the center column or just under the spot where the head attaches. You know, on a windy day, you might well notice your tripod moving, and you don't want that. So basically, you want to use that hook and you want to attach part of your pack or something that you could attach onto it, you know, 5 pounds, 10 pounds, whatever, just to give your tripod more stability. Another tip, a lot of people want to travel with their tripod, but then when it comes time to pack their stuff, they realize that it doesn't fit in their carry-on luggage, and they may not even have realized it, but it doesn't fit in their suitcase as well. Know that some airlines aren't even allowing tripods on planes anymore because they can be used as weapons, so you may have to fit it into your suitcase. Make sure it fits in your suitcase beforehand. Something else to be aware of. Speaking of the center column, I'll just talk about my tripod again just for the last few minutes. So again, I got the Gitzo GT2540LLVL. And one of the reasons that I wanted that particular one was because I could take out the center column, but the center column has the ability to move. So there's a knob on the side of this tripod, and I can physically move the center bar, not just up or down, but in any direction. And there's also a little level at the bottom of that bar. So it really allows for some precise and unique movements. And I'm loving it. You know, most tripods don't have this feature. I paid a bit of a premium for it, but I personally love it. I love having the ability to move things off center just using that center column. Not everyone is going to like it, but I like it. So if people are shooting in similar ways to me and they have a few extra bucks, I realize it's expensive, but I just wanted to share the fact that I'm enjoying this aspect of it, and it might be something you want to look out for. I can absolutely tell you that it's a few months now that I have this tripod, and I take it with me now almost all the time because it only weighs a few pounds. It's really not that heavy. And you know, it fits snugly on my back and it doesn't crush me. So my pictures are steadier, my pictures are sharper because I'm using the tripod more often, which is the original reason to get it in the first place. So you don't necessarily have to spend as much as I did, but get a good system and make sure it works for you. I should say that I'm in Montreal. Our bigger photo stores here are actually limited with the variety and the different brands that they have. So, you know, I've been researching tripods like everyone else for a while, and I've heard of brands Enduro and Benbow, I've heard of a bunch of different brands that I can't find in Montreal, and some of these brands are significantly cheaper and they're getting really great reviews, but I was not able to find one to test in Montreal, which is why I didn't buy it. So, you know, if you have bigger photo stores or you can get your hands on these tripods that you could test, you know, Yahoo, go for it. You don't necessarily have to buy, you know, Gitzo or Manfrotto or any of those. You can buy any brand that's good. And like I said, there are good carbon fiber tripods that are somewhat knockoffs in quotation marks, but are still getting really great reviews. So if you're lucky enough to be in major cities where those tripods are available and you can test them and they work for you, feel free to save yourself some bucks. Again, do your reviews, try it out, you know, Google the stuff, see what other people are saying. But after you've tried it out in person, you'll have a much better idea if it's going to work for you or not. Don't take blind advice. Try it. If I have one point to teach in this whole podcast, it's don't just go to an online retailer and buy it just because someone else likes it, because you might be 5'6" and they might be 6'4". And when you get it, the tripod just won't work for you. Go to the store with all your lenses and your camera and try it out. And that's all I got on tripods, and I hope it was useful. And obviously, this is almost just like a primer on tripods. So please feel free to shoot me comments or responses or opinions on anything that you feel I may have left out. photography.ca@gmail.com. You could send a message in the forum or on the blog, photography.ca/blog. Really, I like to learn too. So if there's important things that people feel I missed, please let me know about them. In terms of assignments for this month on the forum, there's a little over a week left, and our level one assignment is geometric shapes, and we're having some very cool variety there. And our level two assignment is creative underexposure. So this is deliberately underexposing a scene for a creative effect. We already have some cool submissions, and if you've submitted once, feel free to submit again. If you're lurking on our forum, we are a friendly bunch. We don't tolerate unfriendliness, so please join and make yourself at home. It's our pleasure to meet you on the forum. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. The summer's here now, so I don't think you need any more encouragement from me. Just get out there and keep on shooting. Bye for now. Thanks so much for listening.